The gospel is from St. Mark, chapter 5, verses 21 to 43. When Jesus had again crossed over by the boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered round him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders, named Jairus, came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed round him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned round in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking round to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion, with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." And they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately, the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. This is the gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God.
Right, good morning. Can we just have a prayer before I speak, so that hopefully some of the things that I talk about will touch our hearts, and if we can also open our Bibles while I'm speaking, because I'm aware that some of the things that I've put together, they might not be that useful for everyone, but if you're looking at the Bible, hopefully God's word can stir us this morning. But let's just open with a prayer. Heavenly Father, as we gather as a church this morning, as Christians, we know that life is not always calm and still. We ask that something of your peace and power may reach each one of us through the study of your word this morning. Take this passage written so long ago about events which took place so far away and make them real and relevant to our lives today and tomorrow. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, today sees an important event this afternoon. 2 o'clock, Hyman Sports Centre, 3G pitch, okay. It's St. John's football team against Trinity Church. Okay, 11 aside. Last time we played them, we lost 5-4. Last minute goal. We equalised in the last minute to make it 4-4. And then a calamity struck where the wind caught the ball, hit one of our defenders on the back, went out for a corner, last kick of the game. The ball came in, headed goal. Absolutely, everyone was absolutely gutted about it. But today we've got the chance to put that right. We'd appreciate your support if you are coming down. But over the last 24 hours, I've had three people text me, say they're ill, or they've got a niece's birthday party, so they can't make it. I don't understand how that niece's birthday party has changed over the last 24 hours. So I was a bit disheartened about it, because some of our better players are missing. But I've just had our best player text me, and I shouldn't really have been looking at my phone throughout the service. But I've had a look, and I thought, this is Craig. Oh, no, our best player's not coming either. But I looked at the text, and it said, I'm really, really up for it today. And that's inspired me now. My faith in victory today has been strengthened. I believe also that the ladies went out on Friday night. Is that right? Okay. I noticed on the website there was a picture. I don't know if anyone saw it, of a young lady being arrested when it was advertising. This was advertising the event, but I'm glad that that didn't actually happen. No one got arrested, did they, on Friday night? Right. Very good. But. But these things are good, aren't they, in church? They're giving us a bit of unity, these kind of events, the football, the night out that went on. Now, if we remember last week, Tom spoke to us. Some of us weren't here. It's great to see so many new faces as well today. But Tom spoke to us about the sad state of congregations dropping. And he spoke to us about how, you know, we've got to get a plan together, otherwise this place could fall into that category, you know, of a church that unfortunately closes. And we don't want that. Nobody in this here wants that. I notice as I'm going about my daily work, I've noticed in Clayton that there's a church been knocked down and a car park been built over it. I've noticed in Great Harwood another church demolished with new build houses built over the top of it. We don't want that, do we, here? And Tom said last week, this awful scenario, it's not too far away unless people come through that door each week. But it's up to us, isn't it, to reach our community of Baxenden and preach that good news, show that good news to people out there and embrace new ways of doing it. And we've spoken about a couple of things that we're doing. And Jesus spoke last week about Tom spoke last week about Jesus calming the storm and how we need to work together and not simply be passengers on that boat, Tom said last week, if we're to keep this church up and running. We all need to work together as brothers and sisters in Christ to keep being that beacon of light to society out there that desperately needs Christ's love and hope in their lives. But we need to have faith that God can work amongst us to bring that message alive. What we can't be doing is fearing the worst and not reaching out in faith as that woman that we read about, the bleeding woman, did so readily. So I've chosen one passage to sum up the talk this morning, and it's on the screen. It was the verse that really stood out to me, Jesus' words from Mark 5:36. Don't be afraid, just believe. It's a message for us this morning, definitely that passage. We need to believe more and fear less as Christians. Now, I'm going to look at four miracles this morning. I'm going to look at the first one from last week, Jesus calming the storm. Secondly, one that most of us will have heard at some point, which is Jesus healing the demon-possessed man. And what happens within that one is that the demons are sent into a herd of pigs. Okay, the third one is Jesus healing the bleeding woman, and which is the passage from this morning, and also Jesus raising Jairus' daughter from the dead. Now, the reason I want to look at four consecutive miracles is that I believe they're recorded together for a purpose, and this purpose is to show the level of people's faith within the passages. Jesus' miracles were one of the main features of his life. his words and his works are the main things that are recorded in Mark's gospel. And sometimes we can look at them sort of kids' stories, can't we? We can think of the miracles. We can see them as something for the children to look at. But we lose the sense of awe and wonder of them. Today, I want us to feel that awe and wonder when if we imagine that we were there when Jesus was doing these miracles. And to do that, I want us to look at the reaction of the people who were affected by the miracles. All four of the crises which the miracles present, which lead to the miracles, present the main characters with fear. They're all afraid of those things. The first one, danger, the danger of the storm. The second one, demon possession. The third, disease. And the fourth one is death. Things that some of us may be facing, but they cause us to fear the consequences of these four D's. Yet Jesus faced them all, and it's the four D's that submit to him. Jesus faced them head on, and they were all conquered, we see, don't we? But the people's reaction are either fear or faith, so the two F's. So the four D's lead to either of the two F's. Is everyone following me this morning? It's like an equation, isn't it? Okay, so in our first miracle, Jesus is with his disciples in a fishing boat, the calming of the storm. I've got a picture to, just to focus us on Mark 4, chapter 41, sorry. Tom covered it last week. Jesus is crossing to a quiet place in order to get alone with these disciples, isn't he? And he wants to train them to share his heart with them on the other side of the lake. But as they're on the lake, Jesus falls asleep. And then we know that storm came, didn't it? Just to put it in context, the Sea of Galilee is a body of water 680 feet below sea level, surrounded by hills. There's some terrible storms that still go on there today because the wind intensifies close to the sea, causing violent and often unexpected storms. And it's a terribly frightening experience. And even today, people are killed whilst on that lake. But the men that Jesus were with were fishermen. But even they were terrified by that storm. We're told they were frantic. Now, within the passage, we see three rebukes. Firstly, we see the disciples waking Jesus up and telling him off, basically, don't we? They resented him being calm and peaceful amidst the chaos of the storm. They ask, "Don't you care that we're going to drown?" What a question to ask Jesus, wasn't it? And sometimes, can we find ourselves asking that question of Jesus? In our daily lives, when things hit us unexpectedly, we can be angry towards Jesus. We can ask that, can't we? Don't you care? Does Jesus care about this church here in Baxendon and the problems we're facing? Of course he does. Jesus cares, and he cared in the passage too. But the difference was that Jesus wasn't worried because there was no real danger in that storm. Because if the disciples had understood who Jesus was, they'd know they weren't going to drown on that lake, that it wasn't the will of God. But their faith was rocked by that physical storm. So they told Jesus off, they rebuked Jesus. The second rebuke is Jesus' rebuke of the storm, which was amazing in itself. Jesus said to the storm, "Be quiet, be muzzled, shut up," basically. Jesus controlled the storm. He controlled nature, and the wind and the storm calmed immediately. Then the third rebuke. Jesus rebukes his disciples. At this point, they're on the lake. The lake now is like a mirror, not a ripple on the water. And Jesus says, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still not have faith in me?" The problem was in that passage that fear had overcome the disciples' faith. And in each of our hearts, we either have faith or we have fear or we have a bit of both. The disciples' fear was far greater than their faith. And at the end of that passage, after all they'd seen, they're still afraid. They're looking at each other, as you would be, in amazement and also fear, saying, "Who is this man?" You can imagine them thinking, "We need to get away from this guy. If he can calm the storm, he could do anything." So at the start of this first miracle, the disciples are afraid. And after the miracle, they're afraid as well. So that's the reaction of the disciples in that one. And just a question, are we fearful of that miracle that Jesus can do for us in Baxendon if we reach out to him? The second miracle is the healing of the demon-possessed man. Now, I know we haven't read this miracle in the last 4 weeks, in the passages of Mark that we've been looking at. But Jesus and his disciples finally get to a quiet place on the other side of the lake after facing that storm on the same day. An eerie place, a cemetery, and an eerie time of day, the darkness. And in the passage we're told that a man runs at them, a naked, screaming, scarred man with the scars from self-harm and the shackles and chains that have been used to restrain him. You can imagine the disciples wanting to get back into that boat, can't you? Back onto the lake. And it's absolutely terrifying when you look at the passage. Demon possession is not something we talk about here in Baxendon much, isn't it? Is it? But here is a man with supernatural strength, with incredible spiritual knowledge. It wasn't mental illness, it was demons within this man. And we're told he was talking, but it wasn't his voice within him. And the battle to heal that man wasn't easy for Jesus. We're told they resisted. The voice that was coming from the man said, our name is Legion, talking about the demons, because there are many of us within this man. They were showing the strength to Jesus. But we know that Jesus overcame him, came the demons and sent them into a herd of 2,000 pigs, which we've got a picture on the screen there, and kills them as they run into the Sea of Galilee. It's a strange passage, isn't it? But we see that Jesus valued one man over 2,000 pigs. Yet what was the reaction of the people who saw this miracle? Were they thankful to Jesus about it? No, we see the reaction is that they beg him to leave. Maybe they thought too much of the pigs, or maybe they were afraid of that supernatural power that Jesus possessed. As we saw with the calming of the storm, the supernatural that Jesus possessed, the power that he possessed, it disturbs us, it disturbed the people. The people wanted to understand what had gone on. They wanted things to be in their control, yet Jesus was way beyond their understanding. They wanted him to leave. Maybe we don't want to be disturbed by supernatural power this morning. It's something that troubles us, doesn't it, sometimes when we see that kind of thing. But his reaction, the man who was demon-possessed and now was clear, was from complete fear to complete faith. Now, he wants to go with Jesus. He was begging to go with him. He would have been pleading to Jesus, saying, I'll go anywhere with you, Jesus, after being healed. Yet Jesus says, go home and tell people about me. Now, that's a challenge, isn't it, for this man? He'd seen Jesus, witnessed who he was, the Son of God, and it would have been easier, surely, for him to stay with Jesus in reality after being chained away for so long. Yet he faithfully followed Jesus' commands and lived out his faith by telling people the good news about Jesus in the towns that he lived in and to his family and friends, and that's true faith in action. The next time Jesus visited that place, we're told 4,000 people wanted to hear Jesus' words, most probably due to this one man. From faith to fear, that is the reaction of this man. Can we proclaim Jesus' truth like this man? Maybe if one man can get 4,000 people interested, maybe we'll have to be looking for a bigger building here in Baxendon rather than worrying about it being closed down. So we have from fear to faith. Now, the third miracle is one we've looked at this morning, is the bleeding woman. We're told that Jesus is a last hope in the passage, not due to her lack of faith, but simply because she had not had the chance to see Jesus up until this point. She'd spent lots of money, but we're told she only got worse. Jesus may have been her last hope, but we see that she regarded him as her best hope. From the first mention of her in the passage, her faith shines through. She'd probably have heard about Jesus, that he'd healed others, but however she knew of him, she was absolutely sure that he could heal her. She was seen as unclean, unable to enter society freely. And so what she did was she waited until he was in a crowded space, waited until she was near enough to Jesus, and then reached out physically, but also in faith, and touched that tassel on his Jewish robe. And we see that she was healed. She lost pain immediately, yet Jesus immediately noticed something was missing, didn't he? Something was transferred between Jesus and this woman. Jesus' goodness and power was transferred to make the woman well. The woman relied on Jesus. She had 100% faith in him. And we know that Jesus asked what seems like a ridiculous question to the disciples. Who touched me amid all that crowd? And can we sometimes come to church, I know I do, not be reaching out to Jesus, believing that he can deliver us from those situations we're facing? And maybe Jesus is watching St. John's Church this morning and waiting to feel that hand reaching out to him so that he can ask that question, who touched me? Who wants my healing touch on their lives? Who believes in me? Jesus, in this passage, says, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. You've been healed. A brilliant example, then, of faith that was unwavering throughout. Now, finally, the fourth miracle is the healing of Jairus' daughter. This is an incredibly moving story. Having a two-year-old daughter myself, Abigail, I couldn't imagine that grief of losing my little girl. Yet here we are, Jairus, a prominent citizen, losing all his dignity by kneeling before a travelling preacher. He's desperate, isn't he? We see in the passage his 12-year-old daughter, a girl with all the possibilities of life before her, is at death's door. He pleads with Jesus, saying, my little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. His faith is apparent from the offset, and Jesus sees this. Jesus goes with Jairus, but then we see Jesus heals the bleeding woman within this passage. And Jairus must have been thinking, you know, come on, Jesus, hurry up. You know, he must have been frustrated, mustn't he, as he saw that Jesus was dealing with other people. And then that terrible news came, Jairus, your daughter is dead. What an awful situation to be in for Jairus. It was too late. You can imagine the look of grief in this man's eyes. His last hope of his daughter being healed, which had been in reach, but that chance of Jesus touching her had been taken away from him. An incredibly, terrible scene that if you put yourself in Jairus' shoes. Yet Jesus turns to Jairus and says those words, don't be afraid, just believe. Jesus was saying, don't let fear get in your heart now, Jairus. Keep the faith in there. And it's an amazing scene when Jesus arrives at that house. People waiting, wailing and screaming, you know, really upset about what happened, mourning the loss of Jairus' daughter. Yet we know that Jesus holds even power over death. And he tells off the people who were outside the house, why all this commotion? The little girl is only asleep, he says. Of course, she wasn't asleep, but he spoke about death as a temporary condition and used this imagery to show that she could be restored. Death wasn't even an obstacle to Christ. And Jesus enters that room and has complete compassion for the little girl and says something really moving. He says, little girl, I tell you, get up. And once again, this is Jesus' supernatural power. And what an amazing sight to see this girl who is dead now sat up alive and well. And we're told that Jairus was overwhelmed. Jairus believed, and his faith was rewarded. Jairus had faith where all around had given up. A true man of faith, whose faith in Jesus stayed strong even through the most difficult of storms in his life. Just to sum up, I know we've looked at a lot there. I've been greedy, taking four miracles there. But just to finish, I want to consider these miracles. We see they're all set beyond man's control. Man could not prevent that storm, could he? Man could not send out the demons, though probably some had tried. Man could not heal the lady who was bleeding, though many definitely had tried. And man could not prevent the death of the young girl. But the miracles show us an important truth, and that's why I've put them together. That when we get to the end of man's resources and expertise, we're only at the beginning of Jesus's, aren't we? And such stories make a mockery of those who say that Jesus was just a good man or a good teacher, and that Christianity is just a set of standards to live by. No, as Christians, we know that Jesus is God's son and has the power to help anyone in any situation if we only reach out in faith. Here was a man who was in complete control of the things that are beyond the control of man. And as we stand in this uncertain time for our church, let's consider putting our faith in Jesus in action, just like the man who was healed from demon possession, who went around telling people about Jesus. Because as we've seen, it doesn't matter what situation we're in, Jesus is bigger than it. We need to hold on to our faith in Jesus, most of all, as a church, because if Jesus is who he says he is, God's son, then we have a ground for our faith and ground for conquering our fears here this morning. So let's just have a quick recap. Can anyone remember the four D's that I mentioned. See if anyone's been listening. Joanne, can you remember them? What were the four? Danger.
Disease.
Brilliant. Thank you. And the two Fs. What were they? Fear and faith. Thank you. It shows that people were listening this morning. Thank you very much. If we can just take that away, that's great. Let us just pray to finish. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we pray that as we get into difficult situations this week, that fear may not grip our hearts, but faith may excite us, because you are going to help us. We ask for this faith, Lord. We believe. Deliver us from our fears and anxieties. Help us put our faith in you and your utter control of every situation we face. For we ask it in your most precious name. Amen.